Well, good morning, CCV. How are we doing? We good? Good, good. Good to see everybody here today. I'm so glad you made the choice to be here as we do launch into this brand new series called Christmas at the Movies. And for the next few weeks, we're just going to dive into some of these Christmas movies and see what we can learn about God and the Bible from those things. I hope you've had a really good week. It's been a good week for me because I've been able to both study the Bible as I prepared for this message, but also watch one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time multiple times. And that movie is Elf. If you're familiar with the movie, it came out in 2003, believe it or not. And from that point on, it's kind of become an instant classic. If you're not familiar with the movie at all, let me kind of just bring you up to speed a little bit on the movie before we dive in and study a little bit. The movie is about this guy named Buddy the Elf. And when Buddy the Elf was a toddler, he snuck into Santa's bag of toys and was transported back to the North Pole. And there he was raised by this guy named Papa Elf. Now, as Elf got older, it became pretty obvious that he wasn't an elf. He was actually a human. And his real father, who doesn't know him, lives in New York City. So Buddy the Elf, played by Will Ferrell, goes on this journey to find his real father in New York City and ultimately save Christmas by convincing everybody that Santa is real. Now, to Buddy the Elf in the movie, Christmas is all about this. It's all about spreading Christmas cheer by singing loudly for all to hear. That's what Christmas is all about. That's kind of his goal. And it sounds pretty cool. It sounds like a good premise, right? Spreading Christmas cheer by singing loudly for all to hear. The only problem is a lot of times people in the movie and even many of us here today, we don't always experience joy and cheer during this time of year for all sorts of different reasons. And maybe it's credit card statements. Maybe it's strained relationships. Maybe it's just busy, busy calendars. Listen to what David Crabtree wrote about this season of the year. He says, "Christmas Eve will soon find us lifting up our weary voices to sing, 'Joy to the world, the Lord has come.' And then we will rush from the service to get one last gift or visit one last party. And soon, it's over. We save the bows, burn the wrappings, strip the tree, and labor over our New Year's resolutions. But too often, we have missed the point. We're like the man who goes to the coast but never sees the ocean. The threat of a holiday hijacking is all too real. Unless we engage our hearts in the true celebration of Christmas joy, we are easily caught up in a pointless and mindless holiday." Here's the truth, CCV. The truth is that Christmas can actually be more stressful than joyful if we're not careful during this time of year. And I'm not sure what kind of stresses come at you in this season of life. Maybe your stresses are physical, related to your physical life. You know the story, right? You know, you go to his parents' house and then her parents' house and step-parents' house, and you have a party at school, you have a party at work, you have a party at church, and it can just be exhausting. You add to that some long shopping trips and some late night toy assembly projects. And this season can just be so tiring sometimes. Or maybe you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, "Todd, I wish that my physical stress was related to a busy schedule." But for you, the deal with your stress is that your body is physically sick. You're facing some real health issues, maybe for the first time this Christmas season. And you're a little bit nervous, and your body aches, and you've had some tests done, and you're waiting for the results. And it's just so hard sometimes to be joyful when your body just doesn't feel good like you think it should. Or maybe your stressful circumstances are relational. Maybe you have a friendship that has been lost over the course of this last year. And it's painful because you've done a lot of life with this certain individual. But you know there's not going to be a Christmas card. There's not going to be a text or an email. For those of you who are students, there's not going to be a Snapchat coming from this person this year. And it hurts. It's painful. Or maybe it's your marriage. Maybe your marriage has kind of been broken this year, or it's beginning to crumble. And really, that's all you can think about. When you're driving in your car, when you're at work, when you're eating, all you can think about is your marriage. And during this time of year especially, it's just so hard to kind of just be torn apart, relationally speaking. Or maybe you have a brother, sister, or family member who's lost and running from God. They're rebelling from God. And basically everyone else in your family has kind of written them off, but you have not. And you continue to pray, and you continue to reach out for them, and they don't respond back to you. And it's hard, relationally speaking. Or maybe over the course of the last 12 months, since last Christmas time, you've lost a loved one. And this is going to be your first Christmas without this person. And there's going to be an empty seat at the table this year when you eat Christmas dinner. There's going to be a void when you pass out the gifts. And you know what? It's hard. And it's just hard sometimes to be full of joy when your relational life doesn't seem to be where it should be or where it's always been. Or maybe finally your relational thing or your stress comes from a financial thing in your life. Maybe it's your house that you've been trying to sell or finding the right house, or maybe it's your job that you were trying to get or something like that, or maybe it's your bank account that is basically empty, or the credit cards are being maxed out, or maybe you're feeling the financial pressure for some reason. The financial pressure this Christmas, it just seems like more than usual. I'm not sure what it is for any of you here today. Your Christmas season could be void of joy for any number of reasons, but that's why I'm glad we've gathered up here for just a little bit today as we head into the next few weeks of Christmas, because here's what I want to do. I want to share with you two things from the Bible and also from the movie Elf about how we can recapture joy and get recalibrated towards joy during these next few weeks of our lives. So if you're taking some notes today, the first thing I want us to learn is this: that life doesn't have to be perfect to be joyful. Life doesn't have to be perfect to be joyful. Take a moment and watch this scene from the movie Elf. Buddy the Elf does not have a perfect life, does he? I mean, he literally doesn't fit in where he lives. He doesn't fit in at home. He's lonely. He's made fun of. He's misunderstood in his life. And maybe some of you right now are thinking, yeah, Todd, I've been there. Or maybe not you've been there. Maybe you are there right now. And if you were honest today, you would say, you know what, Todd? I just don't feel like I fit right now, like in my home or at my workplace or in my high school or in my college. I don't fit, Todd. Or maybe you feel lonely or misunderstood or made fun of. You just don't feel happy during this time of the year. And I just want to say, if you feel any sense of that in any of your lives, I want to say this to you. Even if you don't feel happy, you can still experience joy in your life, because happiness and joy are two very different things. Let's unpack this for just a little bit. If you're taking notes, write this down. Happiness is external, while joy is internal. You see, happiness hinges on what happens. Happiness hinges on what happens. Happiness would be like the equivalent of happenstance. It's what happens in my life. I'm happy because I was able to buy this. I'm happy because somebody gave me that. I'm happy because she called. I'm happy because he called. I'm happy because all of these different things seem to be working out in my life. And happiness is very volatile. You know this. And the reason it's volatile is because it's temporary and it depends almost completely on what happens in our lives. Now listen, I'm not saying that happiness or wanting to be happy is a bad thing. But unfortunately, here's what happens. Many times Christians are taught, especially from a very young age, that God doesn't even really want us to pursue happiness. God doesn't want us to be happy. A lot of times for those who are following after Jesus or brought up in the church, you know, we hear that God wants us to be holy, but not necessarily happy. But he wants us to be holy, and holiness and happiness are really not compatible. So if you're going to be holy, you're never going to be happy. So that's what we're taught a lot of times growing up. And I just want to say I think that's far from the truth. Listen to what Randy Alcorn says about this. He says, many Christians today are actually laboring under the false notion that God himself is not happy. And I just want to say to you, I think that's so far from the truth. The Bible is filled with all kinds of verses that talk about God not only being happy, but also being joyful. And God wants us, his kids, his children, no doubt about it, to be happy and to experience happiness. And so as we unpack this a little bit today, I want you to understand that seeking happiness isn't bad, that God is not against you being happy in your life. However, you got to understand this as well. The very nature of happiness is temporary because it all depends upon what happens in our lives. And I think that's why God also created each of us with the ability to experience joy. Because if happiness is something that is external, joy is something that is internal. And write this down in your notes, that joy can actually transcend the external circumstances of our lives. That's why joy is so powerful that we're talking about today. It can transcend the external circumstances of our lives. Even when things are going on around you, even when things on the outside of your life are not good, they're not the way you would plan them. Even when those things on the outside are not good, you can still experience joy on the inside of your life because joy transcends the external circumstances of our lives. I've seen this happen a number of times throughout my life and others, maybe most recently. The most recent time I saw this happen was just a few weeks ago with my friend Dennis Bloodworth. A lot of you know Dennis Bloodworth. If you've been around CCV very long, he's a pastor. He's been around CCV for years and years and years and years. And just a few weeks ago, I watched Dennis Bloodworth stand on this very stage right here at his father Richard Bloodworth's funeral. And Dennis, my good friend, said some amazing, just touching, remarkable things about his dad. And it was amazing to watch him because it's like he had a tear in his eye but a smile on his face. And I'm trying to think, how does that happen? Because I know Dennis wasn't happy on the outside, nor was anybody else in the family. It's a funeral for dad and for husband and for friend. They weren't happy on the outside, but yet they were full of joy on the inside. Have you ever experienced that? It was so interesting for me to watch that all these things could be going bad on the outside, but yet they could have joy on the inside. And I began to think about, how does that happen? How do we see that? How do we live that out? How do we grab that in our lives today, especially during this chaotic season that can be happening around the Christmas season? Well, let's dive a little bit deeper into happiness and joy, and I think we'll see how this happens in our lives. Take a look at this. Happiness is dependent on the flesh. Joy is dependent on the spirit. Happiness is going to be dependent on our flesh. Joy is going to be dependent on the spirit. Did you know this, CCV? Did you know that joy is actually a gift from the Holy Spirit of God? It is. Joy is actually a gift that the Holy Spirit of God gives us. Take a look at this verse in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. This will be familiar to many of you who have been around church for a while. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Everybody say joy. Joy, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these things are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me say something about this verse for just a moment, about this passage, especially for those who are Christians, especially for those who have been raised up in the church. A lot of times we look at this passage, and it's kind of like something we compare ourselves against. And we look at this passage, and we see how poorly we're doing sometimes in the Christian life. We think to ourselves, you know what, I don't have a lot of gentleness in my life right now. I need more of that. And I'm not very patient. Todd, if you would just hurry up, that would be great. I don't have a lot of self-control in my life right now either, and so I'm just not doing very good. And here's what happens a lot of times. We kind of see this as a to-do list. And here's what I want you to know. This passage right here is not a to-do list. It's a result list. The passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 is not a to-do list. It's a result list. This passage right here is a picture of what walking with the Spirit of God can look like. Notice that this isn't the fruit of the person raised in a Christian home. That's not what it says. Raised in a Christian home is great. That's fantastic. Praise the Lord. But that's not the fruit of the person raised in a Christian home. This isn't the fruit of the person who comes to church every single week and never misses a week. That's not what it says. This isn't the fruit of the person who never cusses, never drinks, never loses their temper. This is the fruit of the what? Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we don't produce this. We don't earn this somehow. We don't conjure this up on our own. This is something that God, through His Spirit, deposits inside of us. And so I just want to make sure we understand this. If you want to experience joy in the midst of challenging circumstances, you must allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of your life. If you want to move from happiness, which is more external, to joy, which is more internal, here's what has to happen. You have to begin to move from being controlled by your own flesh and your own desires in happiness to being controlled by the Spirit of God. And I just want to say that as clearly as I can, because here's what I know. I don't know everything about you guys. I don't know all of you, certainly, but I know something that's true about many of you. And that is, as soon as we get out of this room in just a short bit, you're going to go out into a new week, and many of you are going to step right into some very difficult circumstances with family, with work, with a neighbor. I know that. And what's going to happen for a lot of you is you're going to walk out of here fired up today from the message and the music, and you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be so joyful. I'm going to be joyful if it kills me. And for some of you, it may come close. Okay? Or you may make everyone else around you miserable as you try to be joyful. So here's what I just want to say. You got to hear this. You cannot do joy on your own. You just can't. You've been trying and you're frustrated by it. That's why. You can't do it on your own. But the good news is that God can do it in you. The joy of God can actually transcend the sucky circumstances of your life. Some of you are saying, did he just say sucky? Yeah, I said sucky in a message. Because that's what it is sometimes, isn't it? It's the sucky circumstances of our lives that we live in. You can hashtag that later, sucky circumstances of life. It's where we live. And take a look, for instance, at the very first Christmas, right? You know the story, many of you do, the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's likely lonely, she's misunderstood, she's made fun of, she doesn't necessarily fit in. The circumstances of Mary's life are far from perfect. You know this, right? I mean, she's a teenage girl. She's like 12, 13 years old, maybe 14, 15 years old. She's a teenage girl in love. She's engaged to be married. She's pledged to be married to this guy named Joseph. But before she can get married to Joseph, you know what happens, right? She gets pregnant. Mary gets pregnant before she gets married. And it's not Joe's baby. The Bible says that it's God, it's the Holy Spirit has her with child. And so this is a stressful situation, right? I mean, I guarantee you, this is not what Mary had dreamed. As a teenager, you know, flipping through the bridal magazines, planning her wedding. This is not the way she thought it would go. Mary has some explaining to do to Joseph and to her parents and to other people. She is in the midst of a very, very difficult season of life. But here's the thing. Mary is so in tune with God and His leading and the Holy Spirit in her life that the Bible says she is actually able to rejoice. She is able to rediscover joy. She's able to rejoice even during this very difficult time of her life. And take a look in the Bible at Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit," there it is, "rejoices." Even during the midst of all this stuff, she can be full of joy. She can rejoice. Even in the midst of these circumstances, "rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Friends, listen. Your life doesn't have to be perfect to be joyful. And maybe as you continue to walk, as I continue to walk closer and closer with God and his leading and the Holy Spirit in our lives, even when things are going bad, even when the circumstances are difficult in our lives, we'll be able to say something like Mary said, and that is, you know what, even in the midst of all of this, holy is his name. Holy is his name, even in the midst of these tough, strange times. That's the first thing I want us to learn from the Bible and this movie, Elf. The second thing I want us to learn today is this, that joy comes from knowing him. Joy really comes from knowing him. Take a moment again and watch this scene from the movie Elf. So you got to turn my mic off during that clip. That is hilarious, guys. You know, in the movie, everyone else at that Gimbel's department store, when you're talking about Santa, they know that this Santa that's coming in is going to be just like any other holiday hired hand, right? That this Santa is, that every single department store in the entire city is going to have like a similar cookie cutter Santa coming in who has the red suit and the white beard and all of the sorts of things. However, Buddy the Elf, when he says Santa, when he starts talking about Santa, he's just not talking about another Santa when he says, "I know him. I know him." He's talking about the real Santa. He's talking about the Santa who lives in the North Pole. Buddy the Elf is talking about the Santa who has the workshop that really makes the toys. He's talking about the Santa who helped raise him, who walked alongside him, who helped grow him up. You see, Buddy the Elf actually knows the real, authentic, original Santa. And that brings us to a huge, huge truth in our study today. And that is, do you know what will really bring joy to your Christmas season? Here's what will bring joy to your Christmas season. Getting to know him. Getting to know him. And when I say him, I don't mean Santa. Okay, some of you are like, seriously, down at Macy's? I mean, that's a little strange, but we could do it. No, not Santa. Jesus, getting to know Jesus. How many of you know getting to know Jesus will bring joy to your Christmas season? It just will. I promise you that. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what it is you're going through with your family right now, at your workplace right now, with your health right now, somehow getting close to and getting to know Jesus can bring joy even into the strangest circumstances of our lives. And I don't know what your circumstances are. Maybe for some of you, it's your workplace, and you know you're gonna head out here this weekend, and you're gonna go to a workplace that just is, it's less than optimal, okay? Let's put it that way. And everybody at your workplace is kind of down, they're kind of depressed, they're kind of melancholy, and it's easy for you to get that way at your workplace. But because you know him, you can come into your workplace and not be down. You can be alive. You can be full of happiness and things like that. And it will cause people at your workplace, maybe this has even already happened to you, people around work look at you and say, "Why are you so up? Why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful?" And you can say to them, "It's because I know him." I mean, you don't have to whisper it. That's spooky. But you can just say, "I know him," right? You don't go, "I know him." No, don't do that, because then they're going to just, that's a whole different Christmas message. Scary. You can say, "I know him. I know him. That's how I can be this way." Or maybe your stressful or tough circumstance that you need to know him in is just that you're a parent right now and you have kids. Maybe you're a mom you're a mom with two or three just little kids right now. Bless your heart, right? And your little kids who are fantastic and amazing, here's what's happening.
They are making you crazy, okay? They just are. They're making you crazy. And what you can do this week is you can just gather up all of your little kiddos and you can bring them around and say, listen, you know what? All of you guys, you're making mommy a little bit crazy. But mommy's not going to go crazy. You know why? Because mommy knows Jesus. That's why. Jesus is keeping mommy from being crazy. I know him, right? And you can do that with your kids in this little teaching time with them. Or it could be all kinds of things, right? In our lives, it could be things that are going on in friendships. It could be, again, we've already kind of bounced off this. It could be your marriage, and your marriage is not where you want it to be. Maybe it's crumbling during this time of year, and it's breaking your heart because this is certainly not what you planned, right? And for some of you, if your marriage is on the rocks, the only thing that may get you through another lonely night is knowing him. I don't know why this is happening, but I know him, and he knows me, and that changes everything. It can even bring joy during very difficult times. And here's the thing, CCV, here's what I want you to know, friends. You can come to know him today, even before we get to Christmas Day. Take a look at this verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, everyone, say everyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Who's included in everyone? Everyone. Everyone's included in everyone. You say, well, Todd, well, you don't know about my last year. I've been full of lies. I've been full of deceit. I've been covering up lies with lies. Well, guess what? That's okay because you're part of everyone. If you call on Jesus' name, you can be saved no matter how it is that you've been living this last year. Maybe you've been full of bad habits or full of addictions and you haven't even really battled them. You've just surrendered to them and that's been your last year. Guess what? You're a part of everyone. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Everyone. Now, take a look at this verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you declare with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You can come to know him today. So here's the takeaway. Here's the takeaway today. It's simple. Do you know him? I mean, do you really know him? Do you know who Jesus is? The greatest thing, friends, no doubt about it, the greatest thing you could take away from a morning like this is knowing Jesus. That's by far the greatest thing you could take away from a day like this. You could actually walk out of this room today and be able to say, I know him. I know him. I know him today.